the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello and welcome to The Winds of Change. Good afternoon. David Carollo was sitting in today for Father Anthony. Noontime, so let's start with the Angelus if we can. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the question is, do we say this prayer three times a day as we really should as Catholics, 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m.? It is our, in churches in Europe, the way are built, where the towns are built around the church square, those bells rang all the time so people would come to prayer. I've always noticed, like in Muslim countries when I visited, they're not shy about the call for prayer coming from their places of worship. So could we do any less? Anyway, great to be here today. I haven't been around for a while, and I'm on a kind of a cold and blustery day in Chicago. It's what they call winter, I guess. So here we are, and I'm very happy to be back on the show. Many things going on. Obviously, our world is what it is, and we just have to stay the course and go forward. And I'm going to have a guest on today to kind of talk about the associations that we have. Of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army, nationally and internationally, and that's our mission, to bring people to learn, live, and spread the message of Fatima, and to bring about devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is our course. We're here at the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy in Chicago, a very beautiful place where we have perpetual adoration and something that... People need to avail themselves today, especially in this time when we have this revival, this Eucharistic revival going on, this initiative by the U.S. Catholic bishops. And I think it's so important when you hear the dismal numbers of Catholics who don't even believe in a real presence. We have a lot of work. Our work is cut out for us. Today, of course, they're celebrating the two bishops of the church, Timothy and Titus, and these were two disciples of St. Paul. And St. Paul was somebody that just had the energy and the, it's amazing. His zeal for the faith was so strong. And of course, Timothy and Titus worked with him, and they both brought into the church by him, became bishops, and they were referred to actually by Pope Benedict at one point, and talking about them in one of his general audiences, said, he quoted, "their readiness to take on various offices in far from easy circumstances, both saints," the Pope said, "teach us to serve the gospel with generosity, realizing that this also entails a service to the church herself." And I think that's something we need to realize today. I know that, of course, we run, I'm the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, and we are a Catholic apostolate, a lay apostolate. Of course, we are very graced to have many priests and bishops who work with us to bring about this work, to bring about the fulfillment of the message of Fatima that was given 106 years ago now, and is as timely today, or more timely, I think, than it was in 1917, because take a look at the world. You know, many things were talked about at Fatima, many hopeful things, many warnings, and I think the bloody history of the last 100 years speaks for itself. We don't have to look at it any differently. I mean, the reality is there, but the future is in front of us, and that's what we have to come down to. And that's what we in our apostolate and what the church in general calls for. We don't look back, we look forward, you know. So our work as international apostolate joins us with people from all over the world. Our association is a member nation of the World Apostolate of Fatima International. Through that association, we are an international public association of the faithful in the church. It also connects us with organizations that complement and enhance our work. One such organization is the Marian Devotional Movement. This organization looks to unite the efforts of many of the apostolates so as to direct more souls to God through Our Lady. Today I have as my guest Dennis Girard, who is the director of the Marian Devotional Movement, to discuss our association. Dennis is coming to us from Canada, from Ottawa, Canada. And welcome, Dennis.
It's good to be with you.
Yeah, Dennis, so again, welcome to the show. It's I would say that I'm coming from snowy Chicago, but I don't have to tell a Canadian what snow and cold is all about, so...
That's true. I just snow blowed my laneway up here.
There you go. So, that's the beauty of home ownership sometimes, and the disadvantage of it. You got to take care of it yourself, right? Yeah, it's not like sending somebody else out there to do it. But no, it's beautiful. But I've always liked the north. I'm a northerner, of course, a Chicagoan, and between there and New Jersey today, and I'm I like going to Florida in the wintertime, but it's not really, I like the seasons, that's for sure, you know. So Dennis, I wanted to, again, introduce you as the director of the Apostle of the Marian Directional Movement. And I wonder if you could just take a moment and explain to our audience what this movement is, and, you know, then we'll get on maybe to talk a little more about some of the things we're trying to do. We, of course, are members of this association.
Certainly. Well, the movement started in 2016 in quite a beautiful way. My wife, Angelina, was given a statue of Our Lady of the Cape, who really is Our Lady of the Rosary. That's how she was canonically crowned in 1904. And from that moment, we began to develop an interest in Our Lady of the Cape. Subsequent to that, we found out that in 1947, she was the image that was processed to the historic Marian Congress in Ottawa, where the Dominion of Canada was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Of course, you'll know that date as the founding of the World Apostolate of Fatima as well. The Blue Army goes back to 1947. And then subsequent to discovering that, we went to the Archbishop of Ottawa and asked if we might present to Canadians across the country the fact that our country was consecrated, because we were pretty sure that a lot of Canadians did not know this. And as it turned out, That was true. You know, very few people knew that our country was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary at that historic Marian Congress. This led to further discoveries about the story of Our Lady of the Cape, and something that was uncovered that is very relevant for every Catholic today who is devotionally oriented to particularly praying the rosary. And that is that in 1694, the confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary was established at Cap de la Madeleine, Trois-Rivières, where Our Lady of the Cape is installed. Now, for those of you who may not be aware of the confraternity or the Rosary confraternity, it is actually an arch-confraternity that was entrusted to the Dominican order over 500 years. And the beauty of it is it ecclesially connects all of us throughout the world who are praying the Rosary if we enroll in the confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. So we, as the Marian Devotional Movement, have been authorized by the Dominican Order, specifically the Promoter General, who is in the Rosary Shrine in the UK, to spearhead a renewal of the confraternity, particularly through Marian shrines, to connect those who love Our Lady, love the Rosary, to connect us in prayer.
Yeah, very true. That's exactly what this is about, is to bring her people together. Okay, of course, we at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey are a member of this, and have been bringing in members, and it's been just a beautiful thing. I know. Would you talk a little bit about which shrines now we have in North America here that are part of this?
Certainly. Obviously, as you just mentioned, the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. There's also a shrine in Michigan that actually renewed their confraternity upon discovering the work. One of the shrines that we're quite excited about, because many, many people are enrolling, is Our Lady of Good Help in Wisconsin, obviously the only approved apparition in the United States. As it happens, just a couple weekends ago, the rector actually preached a message at a Saturday morning mass on EWTN. Yes. And it was really remarkable because confraternity members came pouring in all over the world. Even Father Lawrence Liu, who is the promoter general, was sharing with us that many, many people enrolled in the confraternity in England as a result of that particular homily. So, and now we're speaking to other shrines. This is really a work that is just getting started. So really, we're open to working with other shrines that want to establish the sodality.
Yeah, and I might say that when you speak about Our Lady of Good Help in Wisconsin, of course, up there many, many times, I will like to recall to our listeners that or mention that Deacon Bob Ellis, who was our national coordinator for many years with World Apostle of Fatima, who passed away here now on December 12th of this past year, was a deacon of the Diocese of Green Bay, and he was assigned to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. I know he would do regular holy hours over there. Of course, he was working for us at the same time. And I've been up there. I've spoken at that shrine a number of times, and it's really a beautiful place. And it is the only approved Marian apparition shrine in the United States. And I highly recommend for people from Chicago, particularly where is our audience here, to visit up there. It's a beautiful place. Yeah, and again, being part
Absolutely.
Of the confraternity.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it.
And they can enroll in the confraternity there as well. A beautiful story. The Marian Devotional Movement released a film called Bridge of Roses on October 7th, 2021, which was the 450th anniversary of the Feast of Our Lady of Victory, now known as Our Lady of the Rosary, hailing back to the Battle of Lepanto. And it was that day that Our Lady of Good Help decided to really launch the confraternity. They, of course, celebrated Mass, had a Eucharistic procession, and then welcomed 1,100 members in the confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. Yeah, the director the next day emailed me. He was just floored. It's just such a beautiful sign of hope and renewal.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and that's what it's all about. It's the Rosary. The Rosary is going to win the day here, Dennis. I mean, I think that's what we as the Blue Army have been promoting this since 1947. This has been, of course, this is what Our Lady asked for at Fatima, was to the rosary. Pray the rosary daily, okay? You know, for world peace.
Yes.
And to bring about
yes.
the end.
And I guess we
there.
Should just mention what connects us ecclesially and what's so powerful, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I just don't want to forget this one point, is that when each of us prays the rosary as a member of the confraternity, we make a point of lifting up all of the intentions of the members of the confraternity, the Most Holy Rosary, living and deceased. It's right. incredibly efficacious and powerful.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Dennis, I have to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to follow up more on that with what we're doing is, you know, through this association. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on... I'm sorry, David, filling in today for Father Anthony on the EWTN Voice, Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. Welcome back. And I have as my guest Dennis Girard. Dennis, of course, from the Marian Associate Movement and Devotional Movement. And Dennis, as we were talking a bit about what the devotions are in the rosary and the efficacy of the rosary. And I'd like to ask you a few more questions. You know, like, see, those are the goals of the association. The members, can you give some idea who some of the other members are of this association?
Now, are we talking about SEMA or the confraternity?
Well, I'm talking about the confraternity, but also how it ties in with SEMA, because it is very much, maybe you can explain a little bit about SEMA and what, you know, what we've put together here as a group of organizations in both cases.
Right. So let's start with SEMA, which is an acronym that means the Coalition of Eucharistic and Marian Apostolates, which is a group of many apostolates currently across the United States and a few of us in Canada who have connected together with three main pillars. And those pillars are SEMA's call to confraternity, in other words, encouraging people to enroll in the confraternity in the various shrines where it'll be established and those that are already established. Number two, SEMA's call to consecration, to consecrate to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the third call for SEMA is that message, the message of divine mercy, because, of course, Our Lady is not the end of the story. She is a means, the mediatrix of all graces that leads us to that ocean of mercy. And particularly as it relates to SEMA, we're connected. One of the members are the Divine Mercy for America folks, Dave and Joan out of Texas, who are part of the Marians of in Stockbridge. So they're got a great mission to promote Mercy Sunday. In other words, to have as many people participating in that great feast day, where obviously plenary indulgences are granted through the treasury of the church. So those are the three main aspects of SEMA, all ordered towards the summit, source and summit of our faith, which is, of course, the Holy Eucharist. And that is something that I know is near and dear to Americans, as you have a Eucharistic revival that has been begun last year through the USCCB. So that, in a nutshell, is what SEMA is about. And then as it relates to the Confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary, that's an association that really transcends North America. When an individual, for example, goes to the Universal site, which is confraternitycommunity.com, confraternitycommunity.com, you will notice that you can enroll in the confraternity around the globe, because, as I mentioned prior to the break, it was entrusted to the Dominican Order, but it reaches far beyond the Dominican Order. Pope Leo XIII, known as the Rosary Pope, wrote a wonderful encyclical on the confraternity, and he really exhorted that the confraternity be established everywhere and by everyone who has the charge of souls, so well beyond the purview of just the Dominican Order, of course.
Yeah, and it's that they have a charge of souls. And that comes to our lay apostolates in the same way, Dennis. I mean, you know, we grew up at a time where we looked at our clergy for everything. But, you know, the one thing about the Second Vatican Council, it did bring the laity more into ministries and to be part of things. And I think this isn't just the Vatican Council, but this is what, like the late Bishop Fulton Sheen spoke about, it's going to be the laity. It's, you know, the clergy is there to bring the faith to the laity, and the laity have to fulfill it, correct? I mean, and that's,
you know. Absolutely, and perhaps it might be worthwhile just reflecting on just the beautiful fulfillment of that last year, you know, when really Canada and the U.S. met with pilgrim statues at the border, and that was, of course, to launch the pilgrim statue visitations up here in Canada. But, of course, we had the pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima on the Detroit side. We were in Windsor, and that led to many, many pilgrim statue visits, again, cooperating with bishops in the various dioceses, I know in our country, across the whole country. And part of that, of course, we had the Holy Father here in Canada last year. He came to Edmonton, for those listeners who may remember. And we prefaced that by a pilgrim statue visit all across the country, particularly meeting in cathedrals and shrines with the bishops of the local diocese, who would bless roses and hand them to the faithful, who would lead us in a consecration prayer to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it was just such a sense of unity and a real efficacious example of Vatican II, the properly understood in motion. It was just an awesome series of events that we can go forward with a concrete example for a way forward.
Well, we were so happy to be part of that. When that was first brought to me about the hands across the water here between Detroit and Windsor, I said, this is it, because I had COVID fatigue by then, as did most people. And my point was, Kate, this is over now. We have been separated from our closest neighbor for how long? Right across the border. And I mean, culturally, we are one people. And it's just a difficulty to see that happen. I was so happy we brought that together. And the response was tremendous on both sides of the border. I think it rejuvenated people, Dennis. That was my feeling, that it really did rejuvenate people to come back to the mission. You know, because
amen. And as we've spoken, I just love the idea of you doing the same thing as what we just did with Our Lady of the Cape, who is Our Lady of the Rosary, for you to, you know, obviously you've got an open invitation to come and do the same thing up here in Canada with yes. with your international pilgrim statue, right. You know, the RV, and yourself to really spread the message of Our Lady of Fatima.
Exactly, because that's what it is. I mean, our one bishop who is... very close to us, were always referred to Our Lady, all these different titles. And he would say, he said, it's the same lady with different dresses, okay? It's the same one.
Yeah.
And this is the message. This is, and we're bringing the message of Fatima because it's specific, but it is the message of the faith. There's nothing in the Fatima message that is not of in the Catholic faith. All she did is reiterate the Gospels, okay, and tell us to be go back to living in accord with those, and, of course, to make reparation for so many acts that fell short. Okay, and sin, and that's what we're trying to do. I mean, and that's why it's really exciting to have this association and the enthusiasm that comes, through what's going up in Canada, what's going on here, and I do look forward very much now to bringing us together more physically as this year and the next year progress. It'd be very good.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, you were at the Catholic Marketing Network show and spoke there last year. We were involved in the papal procession at the time,
right.
But Father Chris Alar from the Marians also spoke, and subsequent seeing his video, I really love the way he affectionately called SEMA, the new Holy League, not
yes.
yet really known, but just this sense of as we connect together. Our Lady and our Lord can do great things through apostolates coming together with united purpose.
Right. We need to be united. I mean, that's what it's all about. Division. The word devil means what? Divider, right? And that's what we have to avoid is being divided, because we are bringing this one true message of the Catholic faith. We're helping to revitalize it. We bring it back. And what we're able to do in our associations through Our Lady. I mean, she is the one who brings it all together. And we are so honored to be part of this. And I believe that we are this group that St. Louis de Montfort referred to when he spoke about these times, okay, that Our Lady will raise up people. Now, once we're raised up, okay, just like Timothy and Titus were, okay, in the time of St. Paul after the death of Christ, I mean, now we have to do our job. And the job is to bring to really promote the faith and bring it to as many people as we can.
Absolutely.
Dennis, I need to make a little plug here for some things going on in Chicago. The Chicago
sure.
Blue Army, of course, has a number of things that are on the thing, and I hope that you'll join these folks. There will be a St. Joseph table on March 19th, which will be held at St. Thomas More Parish, 2825 West 81st Street, after the 10 a.m. Mass. That's on March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph, a beautiful feast. That St. Joseph table is one for the books. I've been involved in that many, many years. And on February 12th, before that, there'll be a holy hour at St. Thomas More after the 10 a.m. Mass. Also keep in mind that the Blue Army still offers the all-night vigil of reparation on the fourth Friday of every month, and it's held at the Missionary Sisters of St. Benedict, 5900 West 147th Street in Oak Forest, just east of Gaelic Park. It is a beautiful thing. It's been going on for, I would have to say, more than 50 years. There was a little burp during COVID, unfortunately, that got pulled back. But the all-night vigils of reparation. We in the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army nationally, are promoting this so strongly during this year of the Eucharistic revival. We've republished a beautiful book, The Night of Love, which is available at bluearmy.com, as is so many of our resources. That book, written originally by our founder, John Hafford, is a format for the all-night vigils. It's from that book that the all-night vigil in Chicago really found its setup and everything. And what we really want people to really embrace nights of adoration, because it's during these times that we make great reparation for the sins of the world, of our cities, of all our own personal lives. It's nocturnal adoration is very pleasing to God. So we're so happy to see that it's going again and strongly in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Dennis, I know that's something that we're trying to promote, not just again here or even nationally, but internationally, because I think, nocturnal adoration, and it just means people who sacrifice that time. I know here at the Blue Army Shrine, we have Eucharistic devotion, Eucharistic adoration every day after the 12 o'clock Mass until 3 o'clock. And then on first Friday to first Saturday, we have a vigil from 9 p.m. Till 6 a.m. where the Blessed Sacrament's exposed. And it is it's a night of reparation, because Fatima is about reparation. The the Bishop of Fatima, but it was the time of the apparition, actually Bishop Venancio, who was the bishop in the 60s, 70s, was asked one time, what is the Fatima message all about? And his response was, reparation, Eucharistic reparation. And I think, you know, between our prayer, the rosary, and Eucharistic devotions, we're going to win this battle. And certainly, and it seems daunting. It seems like we're fighting an uphill battle in these days. And in fact, we are. We're in a time of great difficulty. But as I always say, it's always darkest right before the dawn. And I believe that we are on, we are looking at a time where we are going to see an explosion of grace coming in. I truly believe that. And I think organizations like ours and what we're doing are going to be the vehicle by which this is going to happen. Dennis, I have to take another break. And when we come back, I want to follow up more about that and about the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, St. Stan's, is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And my guest today is Dennis Girard. Dennis, of course, is the director of the Marian Devotional Movement. And we've been discussing the association and the commonality and the things we're doing, of course, the Confraternity of the Holy Rosary. I know that we are certainly looking at an anniversary here in a couple of years, in 2025, and of course that is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions to Sister Lucia of the Immaculate Heart, where we were given the first Saturday's devotion. And, Dennis, following up on what we've been talking about, I think it is this devotion to the Immaculate Heart that is really the key to what we are obviously promoting and what we need to bring about. And And the way this triumph of the Immaculate Heart that we've been promised is going to come, I believe is going to be through this proliferation of the Rosary, this new, movement to do so in these times. What is your take on this?
Yes, you mentioned St. Louis de Montfort earlier. He, of course, wrote that defining work, True Devotion to Mary, to Jesus through Mary. And, of course, many people are not aware that he actually became a Third Order Dominican to promote the Confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. The Confraternity is a very effective net, if you will, to really gather together people who pray the Rosary. It's not a big ask. Not compared to, obviously, having a deep devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So it's a good first step. And the story of Our Lady of the Cape is one that I think is very particularly ordered to being a good model for that net. And you know, most of your listeners would probably not know the story compared to, of course, the message of Fatima, which is very well known. So if it be okay, maybe I'll just give a very brief background because it is related. In 1867, there was a parish priest who had a dead and dying parish. So very common occurrence these days. Sure. And he went to pour his heart out to Our Lady, and he discovered a pig chewing on a rosary. And the decision that he made next transformed that dead and dying parish into what became Canada's National Marian Shrine, with a million pilgrims visiting it in 1954 and two canonical crownings. So what was that defining decision? He simply renewed enrollment in the confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. Within 5 years, he had personally enrolled 3,000 souls in the surrounding area, which led to the need for a bigger church. And this meant bringing rocks across the river, hoping that the river would freeze. That particular winter in 1879 did not freeze. So again, the confraternity rose up and prayed. Now let's remember, they were part of the confraternity. So it was everybody on planet Earth lifting up their intentions. And Our Lady granted them the miracle of an ice bridge to bring the stone across, which really led to such an escalation in people coming on pilgrimage to venerate Our Lady, to venerate relics, and so on. So it's really a beautiful message of hope and a very good example of the efficacy of the confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. We subsequently produced a documentary on it. People can go to Bridge of Roses film.com, or it is sold also through the EWTN catalog. Bridge of Roses is the name of the film that really spells out this whole story.
Yeah, and it is a great documentary. I really enjoyed it myself. Of course, we promoted it a bit with you here, and it's just a heartwarming story of faith, quite frankly.
Yeah.
People, you know, when all else fails, turn to God. Is, I guess that's what it comes back to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If we maybe turned to God earlier, we'd be in better shape. But it's so beautiful the way that was and the way that came. And the documentary is very well done. I commend all those involved in it. But it is good. But it is an act of faith, and it is an act of, it's a statement that we don't bring people in, Dennis. We bring, we promote the devotional things that bring about the grace that bring things like this, make these things happen.
Yes.
And that's really, that's who we have to realize our, we have to be humble not using our talents, because we have to, but we have to have a humble approach. Even the most talented person has to learn to be humble. And that's why I think what brings it about, because you turn to God, only God actually makes it work in the end. And that's why.
And isn't that the message of true devotion, doing all things through Mary, with Mary, in Mary, and for Mary, perfectly do things all through, within, and for Jesus?
That's exactly it. Yeah, because and you're not doing it. You're doing it through her for him. You're making the consecration to our Lord.
Amen.
To Our Lady.
Yeah.
And you turn over when you take the true devotion, when you take the total consecration to Mary, you're giving you're giving all of your actions to her. Okay, all your prayers, all your requests, but you're giving the merits of your good works to be used as she sees fit. Okay, as they're needed most. And so if there's a soul out there that's in jeopardy of dying, or in jeopardy of losing their soul, she can take those merits and help save that person. And don't think for one moment that you're not going to be, you're going to be outdone in generosity. Believe me, everything you do like that is going to come back, probably a millionfold. So I think it really is a very simple. I think today we are educated people. I mean, I say we're educated. I don't know how smart we truly are, but we are educated. we have more facts in our head, I guess. But do we really understand? I mean, I think it just leads to a lot of arrogance. And that's the reason why we don't seem to take sometimes these simple formulas of just humble prayer. You know, I think you've got.
That's beautiful, David. If I would just remind all of us, and this is a philosophy that we've certainly adopted. We call it digging in the mud, and it refers back to the story of Saint Bernadette. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about her, and you think about Our Lady, and what did Our Lady ask her to do? Simply to go over there and dig in the mud. Mm-hmm. You know, people thought she was crazy, but she just was obedient to that next thing.
Yes.
Each one of us can dig in the mud, can do that next thing that God is calling us to do. Don't worry about spiritually engineering everything. Just dig in the mud. And that philosophy leads to incredible fruit.
Oh, it does. And the thing is, you know, she was humiliated doing that, okay, by people they thought she was just this crazy kid. But she followed the directives. And I think we are looked at that way a lot of times by our, you know, people we know, even our family members sometimes, especially if they're not connected with the faith. You know, you got to stay the course, you know, stay with what you're doing, you know, be humble enough to continue and not worry about ridicule or whatever it takes. You're going forward. We know we're doing the right thing. And by example, it really does bring people in. People see it in time. I've seen it many, many times where people, you know, felt that they were being, just spinning their wheels. And all of a sudden you see some tremendous flush of grace, great conversions and things happen. I think that's because we're willing to give up our outward dignity, if you want to call it, not your dignity, but giving up your status to look, you know, you're willing to look foolish for the cause, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Yes.
And God provides. Our Lady provides. She stands there and she shows people by those acts of humility. I think that's probably a problem in our church today, as well as it is in society in general. We're very educated, but are we truly smart? And I think we have to, you know, what facts and things do we have? It's humility that I don't think the smartest people in the world, and smart by today's standards, are necessarily the most effective and holy. That's what we have to be, just simple. And just simple. Our Lady was simple. She was a young girl who accepted, who just said yes, and look what was given to her. Okay, you know, simple yes. She wasn't an educated woman, you know. And look at the 12 apostles. Only one of the 12 apostles had an education, and that was Judas. Okay. So sometimes you have to give that a little thought too, you know. I'm not saying education's bad. But there is, the others were just, you know, get your hands dirty kind of men that God raised up. I mean, it's what, you know, St. Paul, you know, when you look at how he worked with Timothy and Titus, how he developed them to be who they were, okay? You know, worked with the clay that was there. You know, they weren't developed people. They were people who were willing to be developed. And that's what Christ wanted in his apostles, and what he wants in us, is to just, you know, be that clay that can be molded. And the more we dress it that way. And this is what prayer is about. This is why this confraternity and this work we're doing. And I'm very excited to be part of this. You know, we're a very established apostolate. We've been we're celebrating our 75th anniversary. And very, you know, and many, many great things have come through this apostolate in the many years that came about from when Monsignor Colgan got up and gave his homily in 1947, calling for a blue army of prayer to counter the red army of atheistic communism. Well, that's where we all started back in 47, and people came together. And, you know, and I think that they saw, this was 30 years after the apparitions of Fatima, I think they saw that the world was going bad. The Second World War had happened. That was the greater war that would happen if people did not heed her warnings. We just saw the advent of the atomic bomb at that point. And, you know, nations could be annihilated, she said. And, boy, that really struck home to people. And I think that's why our membership just really surged in those early years, because people really felt that this was real and a real danger, but a mission that needed to be taken on. And I like to believe that because of, you know, the devotion of our membership and of others, you know, who've picked up the Fatima message and the faith in those years. I think we avoided worse things from happening. You know, of course, you could look at the world and say, well, what could be worse? My response is, it could be a lot worse. You know, and what is the worst thing that can happen? Well, that is losing your soul. All right. And I mean, I think how many people in what were the communist countries and still are the communist countries around the world that are deprived of the faith, you know, how many souls have been lost because people didn't have access to salvation in the same way? You know, what's happening in our society, our secular society today, that we're everything is put on an even par. You know, I mean, satanic worship is considered a religion just like Christianity is. And we have to change that, Dennis. And we have to change it. We will change it, I think, truly by our devotion to the work we're doing. I have to take another break. But when we come back, I'd like to follow up, maybe finish off on some of the proposals and how you think we need to go forward to make our work truly be fruitful. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And my guest here is Dennis Girard, who is the director of the Marian Devotional Movement. And Dennis, kind of where we left off, we talked about the Devotion to Immaculate Heart, the Rosary, St. Louis de Montfort. How do you see us going forward? We've talked about some initiatives and things we're going to be involved together with hopefully this next year. I certainly want to bring the International Pilgrim Virgin back up into Canada to visit Our Lady of the Cape, of course, and hopefully, you know, bringing the work that you're doing down here to the States. You know, we have our apostolate in Canada really led off in for some years, and I just think that the Fatima message is so timely, especially in this post-COVID time. I hope that this COVID period, where we all were deprived of our faith, quite frankly, we're not getting into our own churches, I hope that that instilled in many, many people just a determination to never let that happen again, okay? And I think that that is only going to be the case if we just strongly, strongly bring about this devotion to Our Lady. What is your take on this, Dennis?
Well, we talked earlier about Eucharistic adoration, and of course, you know, the Catechism teaches clearly that the source and summit of our faith is reception of the Holy Eucharist. And when we think about climbing a mountain, if we use a mountain climbing analogy, we require a Sherpa. That's a guide. And we can think of Our Lady that helps us to climb to that mountaintop, to that summit. But of course, at base camp, we've got to be organized. And from our experience, and especially leveraging what we experienced last year on our way to see the Holy Father, we can think of no more intentional way of going forward than intentionally connecting bishops, apostolates, and cathedrals and shrines together in this climb to the source and summit. So we really believe that that's the way forward, that the enemy, of course, we know our battle's not against flesh and blood, as the scripture says. The enemy wants to divide, but we need to intentionally connect. And this is a very powerful way to do that. I can tell you that in all of the events that we organized in various cathedrals and shrines with the bishops, the various bishops of Canada, on the way to see the Holy Father, we had bishops blessing roses and handing these sacramentals out to the faithful, leading us in consecrations to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, celebrating Holy Mass, venerating relics and the image of Our Lady of the Cape. And in those moments, you really had a sense of what Jesus says in John 17, that we would all be one, you know, as me and the Father are one. So to me, this reflects back to earlier in John 15, where Jesus says, you know, I don't call you servants anymore, but I call you friends, because a servant does not know the master's business. And the master's business, post-Vatican II, is to connect us intentionally and efficaciously, bishops, apostolates, and shrines together to be these lighted torches to the world. So that really is the vision that we see going forward.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. And that's where we've always had a very vibrant Pilgrim Virgin Statue program going around, not only in the United States, but around the world. Of course, the international travel was very hindered, obviously, in these last few years. But you're right. We are, you know, I'm the director here in the United States, and I've been 14 years I sat on the international board of the World Apostle of Fatima. And I just yesterday participated. We had a Zoom rosary, which we do quarterly with our membership around the world. There were, I think, 140 some participants in it. And it was really beautiful. I mean, and they're from all over. We find a time like 7 a.m., you know, in Eastern United States to maybe 9:30 p.m. or whatever in India, people in the Philippines, people in Australia, people all over were part of this. And every time I participate in something like that, Dennis, I think that, every soul, every person in there is no matter how different we are culturally, you know, we are one people. We are united. We had people from Ukraine that were on there. We have people from, you know, all over. Look at what they're going through. I mean, and obviously we relate much better because culturally we're very much the same, you know, in the U.S. and Canada. But I will tell you that you know, the universality of the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church, he wants us all together. And, you know, he sent the apostles to the four corners of the world. There's still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of work to be done, you know? And I think that a lot of it falls to us. I mean, it truly does. And these kind of associations like we have, you know, this is what it's about. And just like that rosary yesterday, you know, what united all of us in our apostolate worldwide was the rosary. This is what brought us together. That's where our association has come from and what we're doing together. And it's confraternity and all. And I'm very excited about it. I really believe that we are truly on the right track. And I really want to I want to thank you for your hard work with this, because you've been a real good organizer for all of us as part of the Marian Devotional Movement, as part of SEMA, keeping maybe being the glue to some degree to keep us from separating. So I can maybe give you a pat on the back for that one if you'll take it.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. It's really remarkable to see how Our Lady is connecting people. I'll just share one little story that'll give you a sense that this is not the vision of any man. This is truly from heaven. And the example I'll give you is when we reached out to Father Lawrence Liu, who is the promoter general of the Rosary for the Dominican Order, in the UK. We reached out to him specifically with this thought. What if shrines around the world began to be connected through the Confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary? On the exact day that we emailed him, the exact day, the same day, there was a rosary confraternity, a rosary priest from Croatia that emailed him telling him to get in touch with this Canadian couple in Canada who was promoting the rosary.
See?
The same day. Yeah. So we knew at that point that all we have to do is keep digging in the mud, literally, as St. Bernadette did. And that has led to what is taking place now in and through SEMA. And it is beautiful to just sit back and watch how Our Lady continues to conduct the...
Did I lose you, Dennis?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I lost you a minute. Well, that's exactly it. I mean, we're brought together for a reason. There is nothing, as we say, there's no such thing as coincidence. It's God's incidence. He brings us together, and he gives us the tools to do things, but then we have to do them. We truly have to do them. We have to be up there. We have to be on our guard, because we're going to be, when you're doing the right things. I quoted when you and I spoke earlier, and I've done this many times, my late dear friend, Father Andrew Apostoli, would always say, whenever, we talk about how difficult things could be, he would always say, the devil doesn't shoot at decoys. So if we're getting attacked and we're having blips in what we do, maybe technical issues or even, personality issues that happen here, that's what the devil wants. He wants to disrupt us. He wants to separate us, to ultimately discourage us. And that's what we can never let happen. And we have to stay prayerful. And I think Our Lady, if we stay faithful to her, look at what she went through in her life. Look at what's thrust upon her as a young girl. Look at the sorrows that she had to go through, and then look at her life afterwards. I mean, she was there to direct the church in the early days. Okay. I mean, we have to stay focused, determined, and persevere, because we have to persevere to the end. That's really what it's all about. I just wrote a blog yesterday about perseverance and looking at, people maybe who encountered Christ personally in his time. Did they stay with what the blessings they got? We hope so. In some cases, they do. Others, you don't know how their lives went. But it's an example to us, okay? We've been given a tremendous gift to be part of this work. And God help us if we blow it. That's the way I look at it. We better do it right, man. My dad always said. My dad would say, if you better do it right if you're going to do something.
Right. One of the way I think of it is just having this last breath mentality. And I'll probably close with this. Tomorrow's kind of the anniversary of my dad's death 3 years ago. That would be Saturday, so 2 days from now. And I remember his last breath very intimately. He was converted at 78 years old.
Really?
78 years old and died at 81 on his birthday. But that last breath, the scripture to be present with the Lord, to be absent from the body, just became so clear to me, and that is all that really matters, So the conversion, sanctification, and salvation of our souls, and to really be focused on that hour of death as well, as we do the daily digging in the mud. So that we can, one day be present with the Lord and be hopefully acclaimed with good and faithful servant.
That's exactly it. And that guy, hopefully we can do it for everybody. Again, we have many resources, and they link to the work we're doing with Dennis and, those in Canada, BlueArmy.com. It's all out there. And, of course, our website is fluid and new things coming on every day. It brings about the work we're doing. Well, Dennis, thank you for being with me today. It was a pleasure to have you on the
show.
My
pleasure.
And everybody, good to be back on the show again, and hopefully Father Anthony will be back. God bless you.
God bless.
what's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The